There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Hi, Steppers. It is the Thanksgiving Eve edition of Midday Mobile, live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad you're here. Go ahead and put the phone number in the contacts list there. Use it to text. Use it to call. It's 343-0106. 251-343-0106. If you want to chime in on a myriad of subjects we have. A cornucopia. Add an extra leaf to the dining room table level of subjects we have coming up on today's show. You may want to get seconds or thirds or give us a call about that. So that's 343-0106. All right, so put that in. All right, we got a lot to do on today's show, so let's get to it. Coming up, we'll talk about the markets here in just a second. As where there was red on the boards yesterday, there's green today. We'll talk about that. We could also just sit back, Dalton. I could sit back and watch the turkey frying gone bad videos for like the rest of the day. You'll see a lot of these. They'll show this is what not to do with a turkey. This is how dangerous it could be. And it's like somebody frying a turkey, and next thing they have, like, you know, one of the houses that the fire department uses to train, you know, the houses they set on fire, and then they, like, the whole thing's on fire from the turkey. There are probably 35 videos on YouTube of turkey frying gone bad. So you can watch those. Get some tips before you try to fry a turkey. And we'll also talk about a couple things here for the city of Mobile about garbage and trash pickup. And speaking of turkeys, too, give a nod of the hat to one of my neighbor's sons and what he's done for Mobile area families. We'll get to that. But first, I want to get to the top news story. They mentioned it there on Westwood One News, and I want to kind of run through this because story from Breitbart. Now, I think most national news agencies have a story about this, but I'll give it to you from Breitbart, okay? And the reason being, before... you would jump to say this is, coming from a slanted news source from the left. We'll give you the story from Breitbart. Chief Justice John Roberts is pushing back against President Donald Trump's description of a judge who ruled against Trump's new migrant asylum policy as an Obama judge. It's the first time that the leader of the federal judiciary has offered even a hint of criticism of Trump, who has previously blasted federal judges who ruled against him, right? This is not the first time President Trump has done that. All right. Justice Roberts said today, the United States does not have Obama judges or Trump judges, Bush judges or Clinton judges. I was pretty certain. Roberts said that the independent judiciary is something we should all be thankful for on this day before Thanksgiving. Last year, the president used the term a so-called judge after the first federal ruling against his travel ban. You talk about the Ninth Circuit, and I understand frustration coming from conservatives. You know, I see it with the Ninth Circuit. But I think we do have to get to a spot where we move beyond that. Now, there's the way people get nominated. There's obviously the big story is, you know, the political lean of somebody going to the judiciary, which I hate, but that's part of the game. That's the way the game's played now. But maybe... what Chief Justice John Roberts said can get back to being true. I would hope when he said today, we don't have Obama judges or Trump judges, we don't have Bush judges or Clinton judges. So that's one of the stories that's being talked about right now, and we'll discuss it throughout today's show. Also on the way, yes, in deference to what's happening tomorrow, let's talk some Thanksgiving. I do have one of those four myths about the pilgrims, like the things you didn't know about the pilgrims, right? One of those lists coming up. Also, I want to know what's on your Thanksgiving table. You want to drop me a line on the text line, 343-0106. What do you do differently in your house for Thanksgiving? Like what item on the table that's not turkey or dressing or, you know, the basics here? What do you do that's different? Like one thing, carry over from our family, we have baked apples. Like apples that have been cooked so long they just like fall apart. They're crazy good and like full of sugar and they're crazy good. Baked apples. That's like a weird thing on our table, maybe not on your table. What about you? Also, you can let me know what you're thankful for. We'll also talk Saudi Arabia. Is it our job to hold them? Is it the president's job to hold them accountable? And if you say, hey, those are some not good allies to have, people like Saudi Arabia, how do you get out of that? How do you get out of being an ally or at least have a working relationship with a country like Saudi Arabia? We'll talk about that as well. And when we come back from the break, we will talk about the markets. And somebody who knows a lot more about them than I, Chad Stacey, financial advisor with the Stacey Financial Group, will join us. We're going to talk to him about today, you know, yesterday, bloodbath, actually two bloodbath days. Now, when I say bloodbath, I mean it's the market's still about even for the year, but you lost the gains of the previous 11 months or 10 months gone in a day. Now some recovery today. What's a regular investor supposed to think about all this? We'll talk about that with Chad coming up in just a little bit. And I mentioned a couple things for the city of Mobile. Number one, got this note from Laura Byrne, said there's no garbage or trash pickup on Thanksgiving Day. All right, so if you are a Thursday trash person. Wednesday, we're good. I got mine out today. If you are a Thursday garbage, they're not picking up tomorrow. That means more time to pile stuff in that garbage can. Makeup date is going to be on Saturday, they say. Next trash pickup, so what we call big trash in our house, for Thursday routes will be picked up on December 6th. So if you piled up bicycles and yard clippings and whatever else out by the curb, that's going to be on December 6th, if normally Thursday is your big trash. So garbage and trash will be picked up Friday as per normal. But tomorrow, if you are tomorrow garbage day or big trash, they are going to make up garbage on the 24th and big trash on December 6th. And one more, too, we were talking about turkeys earlier on. I mentioned this, too, number one, because it's a good story. Number two, because they're my neighbors. So L.A. Rams linebacker Mark Barron donated 1,500 turkeys to Mobile area families this past weekend. Get the note here from the City of Mobile. City of Mobile says, thank you to Mark and family for not forgetting your roots and giving back to our community. I even got one of those turkeys that we have gifted on from our family because Mark's mama is our neighbor. She's a great, great person. And she's our neighbor. And she was riding by and said, y'all need a turkey? I said, well, we find somebody who needs it. And so she was giving them out as well. So the Barron family, thank you. That was very, very good. And 1,500 turkeys to Mobile area families is a blessing on our community. So good job. And they won too, right, Dalton? They won the Rams. They won their game, didn't they? Yeah, I think they did. So double good news. And of course, you'll be watching, I'm sure, Saturday during the Iron Bowl. So if you get a word to Mark, say tip of the hat from us here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, two, we'll get Dr. Bill's forecast coming up at around 12:35. 60 now at our studios. Beautiful, beautiful day before Thanksgiving. We're coming right back. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, online at fmtalk1065.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thanksgiving Day Eve. Mentioned at the beginning of the show there that those indications that were all red yesterday, like the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, gold, oil, they were all in the red yesterday. Green on the screen today, but is it enough green to have made much of a difference? And what's going on in the markets right now? It's already been a volatile year, and I'll have to say the last 3 days have been pretty exemplary of that. Try to put some sense into this, bringing on a new voice on the station, but glad to have him, Chad Stacey from the Stacey Financial Group, checking in. Thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. Sean, thanks for having me.
And Chad, what are we seeing today? With, you know, yesterday, I mean, Dow was down, what, close to 600 at one point, and then, you know, S&P way down, and then you look today and there's some recovery. What's going on with this?
Sean, I think we've seen, you know, well over a 1,000-point, you know, swing on the market. Just talking about the Dow in general there, I don't think an uptick today of 175 points is much of a recovery from that swing. But I think what you would find is this is just a typical, you know, slight correction in the market. I would not even call it a full correction, but it is a slight correction from some of the highs that we've seen.
Okay, a lot of people have been talking about that what happened earlier this week has wiped out across the board the what has been gained in 2018. Is that accurate?
Well, it depends on how you've been invested, whether or not you've been taking your dividends or reinvesting your dividends, and which markets and market sectors you've been in. I will say that as of today, I think every sector across the market is negative for the year, only because we started the year out so high. If you remember, we hit all-time market highs toward the end of January, and we have not been at those highs since. And so I think that what everybody experienced in 2017 with such a tremendous upswing in the market, regardless of where you were, I think everybody made money. But I think that because it has come down from its highs in January, I think that's why it feels like everybody seems to be losing their money. Although, if you look back to when the elections were, November 2016, you know, the market was at 18,000 on the Dow. We're still sitting on 24,000, you know, a little bit more than that on the Dow. That's still a big jump, you know, in a little less than, 12, 14 months.
Now, okay, explain that too, because you're talking about we've gone from 18,000, we're at 24. Do a little history lesson. How long it takes over time, over history of the market, let's increase the Dow by 1,000. I mean, how long in the past has that taken?
That's a good question, Sean. What I would love to do is put one of my clients on the phone with you. Actually, two different sets of clients. One client that sold his investment in 2008 during the Great Recession when the market fell almost in half. And I'd like to put another client on the phone with you that held on to their investment and still has their investment 10 years later. I think what you'll find is, you know, after the recession, after the banking crisis, the banking failures that happened in this country, because of the regulation put into not just the banks, but also into the markets for that matter, I think that you've seen a lot more consistency in the market. I will say that leading up to the 2016 elections, the year 2016, even some of 2015, were not necessarily great years in the market. There was still a lot of pullback, a lot of regulation in the government that was not allowing the market to move forward. And I think that what you see now is a lot of deregulation and a lot more what I call free market capitalism.
Yeah, it just as a bystander here, looking at the market, it seems like Wall Street is constantly consuming, you know, information in the future. We talk about things being built into the market, something's already cooked in or whatever. They're always looking for new information out in the future. Is there? I've heard people say, well, maybe those folks on Wall Street don't see. There's been such good news, and we talk about this bull market that's been running. Such good news, and like you said, deregulation and a really pro business atmosphere. This going on, are they running out of good news? I mean, is it that, okay, we've now adjusted for all this, has all been built in, and now there's no new good news?
That's a good question, Sean. There's probably two ways to look at that. Some of the more optimistic analysts out there, they're doing their number crunching based on earnings, right, and based on job creation and based on houses that are being purchased and money that's being spent in the economy. That's a positive sign. That means that people are working and they're consuming, and that drives our economy. There's other analysts out there that are a little bit more pessimistic, and the reason they are is because of what's going on overseas, because of these trade deals that I don't think anyone's really sure how that's going to check out, as well as the fear, obviously, with China and some of those types of dictatorship countries. So I think you have different opinions varying out there. My personal opinion is I like to stick to the basics of the fundamentals that drive the market, which are earnings, job creation, and GDP. You know, and if you put those together and you follow those numbers, that's going to show you whether or not our economy is moving forward or whether it's moving backwards. And right now, those numbers prove that our economy is still moving forward.
Now, talking to financial advisor with the Stacy Financial Group, Chad Stacy, about what's going on, you know, in the bigger picture and over the last few days in the market. What about a week like this, where you have a holiday, and you have? Is there any danger for if the market's in a rough spot, and like you said, maybe not a full correction, maybe a half measure correction? Is there any danger having a shortened trading week, or does that not really matter?
That's another very good question, Sean, and I'll tell you, I actually just learned this little tidbit last week, which was that since midterm elections have been in our government, the history of midterm elections, regardless of whether they go Republican and Democrat, that after those midterm elections, every stock market in the history of midterm elections has been positive. So I'm not saying that's going to happen this time, but every other midterm election has been positive. This does throw a little kink in it this week as far as, such a decline in some of these prices. But, if any of your investors out there, if any of my clients had money on the sidelines, I would be looking for opportunities. I'm not saying this is the bottom of the correction here, but I think that you have seen a lot of stocks go on discount this week.
Okay, well, with that being said, as sectors go, there's been, obviously downturn across the market the last few days, but it seems like tech had led that, where I thought tech was the bright spot. I mean, are people not going to get iPhones anymore? What's going on with that?
I don't think Apple's going anywhere. As far as, Apple and Apple, Google, and Amazon in particular, I think those are some great discounts to their stock price. You have to remember, all of those are very growth-oriented companies. Their price does swing very wildly. You can see the run-up, especially with Amazon, just over the last couple of years. I'm not sure of another stock that has returned quite what Amazon has, in particular, but... those are just some examples of some tech stocks that when a correction does happen in the market, those stocks seem to get hit a little bit more than others because of their natural volatility. And I would say I am worried a little bit about Facebook, only because of some of the issues that they've encountered, as you probably know, in the news over the last weeks and months.
Yeah, I mean, you probably can't go 48 hours or at least a week without seeing some op-ed type story where people said, I've dropped Facebook for a myriad of reasons, from whatever reason, but they're out of Facebook. And that's not just millennials that are too hip for it. It's, old folks like me that say, man, I'm out.
Yeah, I think that, without getting into politics or anything like that, of course, my brother's a lot better at politics than I am. But as far as that goes, when a CEO starts to have spats with government officials and he gets into politics and he starts to muddy the water, that would concern me as an investor and as an advisor, and I would probably want to steer away from that company for that very reason alone.
As you look forward to the end of 2018, you talked about this. Are we at the bottom? Are we at a buying opportunity? I mean, the nature of markets, so right, if they're going to do well, that November through March is kind of a busy period, right? So do you see that? You see that volume there? Not just the deals, but you see volume coming up?
I'll tell you, I just looked at one of the earnings output. I think cumulatively for both third and fourth quarter, they were looking at a 10% earnings increase, which is huge, and that, again, that's across the board. But what I would say is, let's definitely watch these Thanksgiving purchases, you know, Black Friday and all that. Obviously, a lot of people going online these days to do that through companies like Amazon and whatnot. But I will tell you, we still see strong sales in some of the department stores, the Targets, you know, the stores that are out there locally. And I would encourage, you know, your audience to purchase locally, to go and do some in-store shopping. But I would say across the board, we just need to watch, you know, how the purchases, how the consumption is being done over this holiday season. That should give you some type of sign as to where those sectors go. But I think in general, my advice to my clients is hold what you've got. You know, this market is shaky right now. Selling your investment in a shaky market, in any type of turmoil or volatile market, is never a good decision.
There you go,
and that's what I would say.
Chad Stacy, financial advisor. Thanks for your time. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk soon.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Big thanks to Chad Stacy with Stacy Financial Group. Hopefully we'll be hearing a lot more from him here on the show, because there's lots to talk about in the markets out there for sure. And by the way, too, if you didn't realize, it's Thanksgiving Eve. So things tomorrow. So we have the Fisher House program running tomorrow here at FM Talk 106.5 during this show and during the morning show. Fisher House, one of our favorite charities. I want you to check out more details, fisherhouse.org. That's going to be running tomorrow, and we're going to be running some kind of different kind of programming on Friday as well. We'll be here, but Dalton's going to do 6.5 stories on a Wednesday. It's if you're somebody who's never around for Friday, maybe you work a four-day week, 4/12s, and you don't listen to the radio on Friday. Maybe you're a man or woman of leisure, and Friday's the day you get your pedicure and manicure, whatever it is. If you haven't heard 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig before, we do it most Fridays, but this week we're doing it on a Wednesday, so that's coming up next hour, so I want you to stay close for that. Plus, getting people with their Thanksgiving, what's on their Thanksgiving table that might be different than other people. I would suggest this. I guess the ones that have been seafood I love. If I could, I have been trying and trying. In my parents' house, you know, I tried to offer suggestions, and they moved along without doing anything about it. And then, I guess for a decade or so as a single guy, I had my own ideas. And then as a married man, I pushed some things, but I don't know if I'm getting traction. I would go for like a full Gulf Coast Thanksgiving dinner. Like if we could just do shrimp and crabs and all that kind of stuff. You know, do a gumbo, do something like that. I do like mashed potatoes. I do like the ham. I eat the turkey. It's okay. It's just not like store-bought turkey. It's just out of the meat world, not my favorite. Not my favorite. If I could replace, if you said, well, you could have shrimp or you could have, think about that. If you could have shrimp or you could have turkey. Right, you have shrimp, right? All right. I don't know. So what's on your Thanksgiving table? Different than the normal things. You have a little, maybe you have a completely different kind of Thanksgiving table. Maybe you have a just an item or two, something on the table that's different than maybe the house across the street from you. You can text in and let me know, 343-0106. All right. I asked this question as well at the beginning of the show, and something we talked about in the 8 o'clock hour, too. The story with the Saudis, and this continues to be, I say continues because this has been a subject going on for a long time, and I think as far back, I think Jeff Poor said this morning, he thought maybe it went back to Kennedy, and that's U.S. dealings with Saudi Arabia. Now, if you went through, if you had a scorecard, right, you had a scorecard, pluses and pros and cons for any given nation out there, and we're scoring them, and you did it in a blind survey. If I showed you the scorecard for Saudi Arabia, you might not think, well, that's a country we need to be an ally with, right? Let's just say you eliminate any kind of history we've had with the Saudis, any kind of relationship now, any kind of, you don't know that they're strategic from a military level, you don't know that they're strategic from oil and control of the oil cartel with OPEC and all that. You don't know that because it's a blind score. And I showed you the pros and I showed you the cons for this, you know, we'll give the nation's numbers. And number three happens to be Saudi Arabia. I think most Americans would see it and go, yeah, that's not good. It's not people we want to deal with. Now, of course, what I'm laying out is a scenario that's not in reality. Reality has a lot of nuance, a lot of gray. The idea that life is black and white is, I think, infantile. But it does bring up some questions. What do we do? Now, I'm really bothered by those that are just rallying around to attack President Trump over this. They're just because, you know, what he has said or said we're not going to do with the Saudis. At the same time, I think there is a big question for we the people to ask. President Trump is really, even though he says it differently that without the diplomatic flair of most past presidents, he's really not doing anything that different than what was done under 8 years of Barack Obama or Bush. We've been doing this for a long time. It's really not even a Democrat versus Republican thing. Now, people want to throw Iran into the whole... Let's just focus on our relationship with Saudi Arabia. This is bipartisan and playing ball with these people. And yes, I do realize strategically the reasons. And from an energy aspect, the reasons. But it is distasteful. It is distasteful. And should it be the job? Should it be the job now for President Trump, Donald Trump, to hold the Saudis accountable? Because you have the killing of not an American citizen. The whole thing is bad. Once again, I think it's distasteful. I'm trying to figure out how you can land this plane slowly. You can walk away from this relationship with the Saudis. Because I would love to see if our country is neutral or better, and we don't have to deal with any kind of relationship with Saudi Arabia, I'm in. Right, if there's no net loss for Americans, I'm in, because I'm over it. But is it the job now of this president with the... Let me point out, let's compare and contrast. And not to diminish the death of this Khashoggi, but I mean, not an American citizen. I know I heard Hinder Rocker earlier filling in for Laura Ingraham. I think a lot of that has to be still vetted, this idea that he really wasn't a journalist and he was, working with the Muslim Brotherhood. Maybe he was, but I don't know that that has been proven just because one person got on the show and said it. But what we do know is this guy's not an American citizen. Yes, he was working for an American company. It, once again, not good. But let's compare and contrast that with the number of hijackers at 9/11 that were from Saudi Arabia. We didn't change it then, did we? We didn't do any real sanctioning of the Saudis, did we? We didn't cut off relationship with the Saudis. And you'd say, well, Sean, those are just happens to be... How are you holding the country accountable for what some jihadis did? Well, there was a bunch of discussion that maybe the Saudi government and the royal family wasn't behind it, but they sure look the other way while this was happening. Look at Osama bin Laden. Look at what's going on there in Saudi Arabia. And yeah, of course, it's not every person from Saudi. I like everything. The idea that you blanket every person in a nation, every person in a religion, every person that looks some way, I mean, that's silly. But you have a lot of cases coming out of Saudi Arabia that their ideas are not in our best interest. So to say that this is the time that Donald Trump, once again, I would like, once again, if we could break up if we could break up with him, I'd like to break up with him now, text him, say we're over. But if we're not, why the increased pressure on Donald Trump that wasn't screamed about with George Bush? Why the pressure on Donald Trump that wasn't screamed about with Barack Obama? Once again, I think this is a reflection on us. It's a reflection on us as much as the people that had been in office at that time. Because, yes, and there are plenty of things that we don't know, and it's good we don't know. I actually believe in, our intelligence services and the information that they pass along to the executive branch. There are things we don't know and we'll never know. But just based on the information we have right now, if you're gonna scream that Donald Trump should do something about a non-American citizen, I think it's Turk, right? That's killed by the Saudis. How should that level of rhetoric against Trump be at a higher level than what was called for when 3,000 Americans were killed on 9/11? Once again, I don't like either scenario, but I'm just saying, is there any equivalency, hypocrisy here? Phone number is 343-0106, 343-0106. And yeah, if you can draw me a flowchart how to get us unentangled with Saudi Arabia, I'm for it. I'm for it. I will push it. I would like to see that happen. I think if we can be net neutral, no worse than net neutral, but not be allies with the Saudis, I think we're a better republic for it. Okay, coming right back. Grab those calls. 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll check in with News 5 right now.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, Thanksgiving Eve style. There we go. We're getting many things on the text line here about things on your Thanksgiving table that just may be a little different than your neighbor's. May not be the whole meal or anything. What are we getting here? Wild duck on there and venison. I like that. I've come by y'all's houses for that. This one is strange. I'll say it's different. I don't know if it's to the people who eat it. It's probably normal. Mom does a lime jello with shredded cabbage and carrots, served with Miracle Whip like dressing for the top. Maybe it's a Norwegian thing. Mother-in-law's, we do ribeyes from Mosley's. Nice. Nice, Danny. Mr. X, potted meat and crackers. Potted meat and crackers. But I think Mr. X will be busy picking cotton. Well, or driving the machine that does it. What do you have that's different? Like I said, the one kind of weird thing, if you come to our house, you'd say, that's kind of different. We do baked apples. Everything else is pretty much normal, but baked apples, part of my family's Thanksgiving. What about yours? All right, and we're also talking Saudi Arabia. And what do we do? I mean, if we could all of a sudden break that relationship off with a neutral, no loss for our country, would you do that? And do you think it's fair or unfair, the pressure that's been put on President Trump to do something about an issue that has been, well, I think it's been a question for decades here. Here's the president yesterday.
If you look at Iran, what they've done, they've been a bad actor. You look at what's happening in Syria with Assad, with hundreds of thousands of people killed. We are with Saudi Arabia. We're staying with Saudi Arabia. And by the way, just so everybody, I have no business whatsoever with Saudi Arabia. Couldn't care less.
All right, let's go to Mike in Baldwin County first up. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Sean. You know, sometimes you got to dance with the devil in order to date his daughter. The daughter Saudi Arabia has is the oil.
Yeah.
And so I weigh it like this. You know, you got to pick and choose your fights. And we may not like it, what happened over there. But in my opinion, it doesn't rise to the point where, we just break ties with these guys. They are helping us out on some fronts, you know, with Iran. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes? I'm not high up in the president's office to know what's going on behind the scenes. So sometimes I take a lot of this stuff with a grain of salt, how bad it may sound. But I tell you, you know, I was brought up, keep the devil in your backyard so that way you can keep your eye on him. And
yeah.
I think a lot of this has to do with that. Look what China does. Look what Russia does. Look what probably some other countries do that we deal with.
You're not always
going to go out and buy roses and have a picnic. It just don't happen that way.
You know, and I agree. And there's obviously, like you said, I'm not high up there either. So there's been, you know, this idea is one that's not a Democrat or Republican idea. Heck, you know, there's been presidents of both parties playing ball with the Saudis for a long time. It just does. And I do understand there's things I don't know and even the things I know. But I do find this thing is not as big as 9/11 to me. I just find the aftermath, and I find it all very distasteful.
Well, yeah, by no means is it 9/11. 9/11 was a different thing.
But there were Saudis. That's what I'm saying. You know, that we didn't.
I agree they were Saudis, but was it the country itself that attacked?
Well, that's the argument.
These people were row or not. You know, just like you're going to have in the Christian society, just like you may have some, in the name of God, they go off and kill abortion people. By no means does that make, you know, the Christian society bad. It just says there's some rogue people out there. And I'm not trying to take up for the Saudis whatsoever. I know they do some bad stuff, but come on. You know, I look at reality. I look at, hey, you know, I got to deal with these people. And they are helping us in some ways. In some ways, they are not. But still, do I cut ties with them completely because some Turkish guy, you know, was going to get married and picking on the king's son? Who knows?
I'm saying. That's what, and I think we're on the same. That's one of my questions too. I mean, this is multifaceted, but all the criticism Trump's getting, I would say, if you're going to, why is it at a higher level? I think the higher level should have been, you know, why didn't we sanction at a bigger level the Saudis post 9/11? Because there is at least some talk that the royal family there, they didn't finance the terrorists, but they turned the other way and didn't look at it. You see what I'm saying?
That
they
were. I served in the military, so I kind of know stuff like that. But you know, I tell you, Sean, it's Trump's getting a bad deal anyway. He does this thing regardless, because
probably
his name
right
is Trump. So have
probably
a great
right
day.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you, man. Thanks for checking in. Let's go to John in Spanish Fort. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too.
Let me go ahead and get this out of the way. We have fried catfish on Thanksgiving.
Oh, man, I'm jealous. Oh, I would so trade that for turkey. Oh, man.
We actually did trade it for turkey.
Nice.
You know, the only person that was interested in turkey after Thanksgiving was the dog. So that's good. Again, the lone progressive voice in Spanish Fort calling you today.
Right.
I know we're coming up on a break, but I think what it's going to come down to, and this is an abstract solution, is that you have to hope you get to a demographic someday that will accept sustainable fuel alternatives for vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly, I'm sitting in a fossil fuel-driven car right now, but I'm 62 years old. My demographic time, it won't be in my lifetime.
But we could do it that way. Yeah, and one of our tethers to the Saudis is this, you know, this, we are junkies. We are oil addicts, right? We want to mainline that stuff. We need it for our economy. It drives our economy. But what if we could produce, either we produce it ourselves or we find another country that, I'll use a technical term here, that's chill. Right, that's right. Mm-hmm. They can provide all the same oil.
Well, we've been having the same hope since the gas shortages under Carter in the
70s. Yeah.
And you can only hope at some point that it happens. But again, you know, the conspiracy theories of there's a engine in the back room that runs on corn or runs on bubble gum, or there's a perpetual motion one somewhere that the oil lobby is keeping from us and so forth. The solution is to not become dependent on oil. Oddly enough, Trump is in the same place that every other president has been.
Yeah, it's been both parties, right? That's what I'm saying. It's like you can go back, D's or R's by their name, they all play ball with the Saudis.
But he just needs to be quiet, in my opinion. He just needs to be quiet. It's a way of life. And I'm going to use an example. I know you're on a break, but if Jim Acosta was murdered in another country or something like that, we don't do it that way. They do it that way, and that culture has done it that way for a long, long, long time.
There we go. I appreciate it, man.
You need to be quiet about it. Thank you, boss.
Happy Thanksgiving. Appreciate the call. And, we'll come back next hour. We'll take a few more calls on this. And I'm really getting hungry looking at all this stuff. So John's got fried catfish. Robert's got oyster dressing and gumbo. Oh, man, that sounds good. Robert, I'm going to send you a note here because Robert's in the oyster business. I need to pick up some here before maybe even tomorrow. Let's see here. This is, what is this one? Corn-stuffed ham. Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, Dan, I got, and Dan said, word of the day is pragmatism. Lord knows, right? I'm guilty of being a pragmatic dude. I just, if there's a way down the road to change this, then I sure would like to do this. It's just not... I don't like to be lumped in with them, you know? I just don't.